epistles. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All things passed away. All things have become new. Those that are saved by the grace of God have received these new things. The newly saved individuals receive these things immediately. And the first of all, they receive a new faith. In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 12 says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." They have a faith centered in Jesus Christ. James 2 and 17. They have a faith that works. "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Not talking about saving faith. It's talking about living faith. It's talking about that faith in Jesus Christ that one is given when they are saved by the grace of God through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a faith to live for Christ. Look at Hebrews 10, verses 38 and 39. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. How often do we do it? Well, we do it all the time. No, we don't. Often we live by faith in ourselves, not in Christ. "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." You know what? That faith in Christ is important. Because if you don't exercise it, then what do you say? He'll have no pleasure in them. And listen, we're created to please God. I know, I bring that out constantly. But that's the thing that's least understood in the world that we live in. It's the least understood in religion, no matter what kind it is. They have no real knowledge or inkling of it. We just come here by accident. We come from a donkey or a monkey or a chimpanzee or whatever else that one wants to choose. Man did not come from any other source than God when he created him. That's the facts of the matter. As a matter of fact, each individual alive today or has been alive was created by Jesus Christ in the womb of his mother. Now that's fact. That makes sense. This other stuff is make-believe. It's what man has brought up in his mind and has concluded. And listen, we're tempted to buy into some of that stuff. We're tempted to let it affect ourselves. But we need to live by faith in Jesus Christ. We need to have the faith that he created us. We need to have the faith that we're a man and not a woman, and a woman and not a man. We need to have the faith that fits reality and the way things exist or are existing today, because the order that he established is still continuing to this day, no matter how hard man tries to invent his own and promote it. They have not only a new faith, but they have a new position, a position on the rock. Look at Psalms, the 40th Psalm, and verse number 2. Psalms 40, verse 2 says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." He took me out of a horrible pit. He took you out of a horrible pit. What horrible pit can we connect that to? That fiery pit in the middle of the earth called hell. As it were, we were snatched, as it were, out of the flames. We were snatched out by Jesus Christ. Listen, he took us off of that unstable foundation that we were on and put us on a foundation that was stable and solid and unmovable. Our position is a position of acceptance. Did you know we were not accepted in the way that we were when we were unsaved? We were not accepted of him or acceptable of him. Our working and whatever that we did, no matter how hard we tried, was not acceptable to him. Because we were not serving the purpose for which he created us. And straightly, the book of Revelation, 4th chapter, makes it clear. We were created for his pleasure. He created us that we might please him and that he might bless us for pleasing him. Ephesians 1, verses 6 and 7, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted of God in Jesus Christ. How many people doubt? How many times do we doubt? You know what that doubting is? A lack of faith. Why do we have a lack of faith? Because we neglect the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have a position of acceptance in Christ. We have a position of no condemnation in Christ. Look at Romans 8 and chapter 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now that, when you take it, meaning the eternal condemnation, once you're in Christ, there is no more condemnation or no more fear or dread or no more being concerned about whether you're going there or not. Because if you truly repent of your sins by faith, trust Christ as your Savior, then he saves your soul. He gives you that peace within. Then, my friend, listen, there is no condemnation for you in hell ever again. That's gone. Not there. We have assurance of the position of no condemnation. There is therefore now, when you got saved, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He added that so we'd know that there's two different condemnations. There's the eternal condemnation, and then there's the suffering for sin because of lack of faith and doing what God would have us to do, depending on or trusting him or striving by faith to please him. So they have a new faith. They have a new position. They have a new assurance. In John 10, verse number 28, the Bible says, "And I give unto them eternal life." How long is eternal life? That's forever. That's forever. If you truly repent and are saved, you're going to live eternally forevermore. If you don't repent and trust him as Savior, you're going to die a death of torment and suffering forevermore. What do you mean you're going to die? Spiritually, you're going to be dead eternally because you're going to be eternally separated from God. And separation from God is why he tells us that when we're dead in trespasses and in sin. Might be physically alive, but spiritually you're dead. So, he gives us an assurance over doubt. And then he gives us an assurance over temptation. Look at Revelation 3, verse number 10. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation." You know, when you start to do that which is sin, and all of a sudden you realize that's this verse. You see, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, that's the word of God, they increase their faith, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Not only now, but in the future, he'll keep us. He gives us an assurance. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Boy, people today, this world, we need to take this to heart. "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." Everyone thinks he does. Everyone gets lifted up in pride. Everyone has to feed their ego. And some of them get so bad having to feed their ego and uplift themselves that they'll go out and kill a bunch of people and kill themselves. What do they do it? For attention. They do it for attention. They do it because they want to be the big guy. They want to be above all. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation," and we're talking about their assurance over temptation. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." There's no temptation taken us that Jesus didn't endure. "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." Oh, you mean he's going to just keep you from? He's not going to suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But how does he do that? Listen to the rest of it. "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape." Yeah. In other words, he'll make a way so that you can get away from yielding to that temptation, but you can go ahead and do it if you choose. But he's made a way. It's available to those that are in Christ, those that are saved by the grace of God. "He is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." We have an assurance forever. Well, let's look at 2 Peter 2:9 first. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." And then that assurance is forever. Look at Psalms 121 and verse 8. 121st Psalm and verse number 8. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." You're going to be around. You're going to live forever. This verse confirms it over and over again, as we have seen here tonight. Over and over again. The security of believer, over and over again. Eternal life, not life till you sin. Not life till God's mad at you and done with you, but forevermore. We have a new faith, a new position, a new assurance, and a new service. That service is a cross-bearing service. Look at Luke 14 and verse 27. He said, "Whosoever does not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple." After you're saved, if you're not willing to bear that cross, if you're not willing to live by faith and exercise that faith that he's grants you, then you're not going to be his disciple. Does that mean you're lost? No, that means you're a child of God no matter what and forever. But that means that you're not going to be one of his special ones. That's earned. You're not going to be special. And it's not him and his fault, it's your choice. Then, cross-bearing service. Then it's a life of service. Self-denying life of serveth. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will not come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And brother, that is the biggest problem that we have in the Lord's work today. Biggest problem we have in society. Nobody's willing or wants to deny themselves. And yet you look at Jesus and what he's done and what he does after you come to him. Listen, how can we not deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him? We need to live a Christ-following life. Mark 8, verse number 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Asking too much. That's asking too much. No, it isn't. Jesus denied himself, took up his cross. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you remember when the sweat became as drops of blood, and he was to the Father and wanted the cup to pass from him? But he said, nonetheless, not my will but thine be done. His love for the Father and his love for you and me caused him to go through with it. Now don't tell me that Christ's sacrifice was not motivated by or brought about by love. He makes it possible for us to have a Christ-following life. And we have a new joy because of deliverance. Look at Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, out of the miry clay. Another verse here that's telling us the same thing. He took us out of the miry clay and set us on a solid rock. We're not where we're at because of us. We're where we're at because of him as children of God and members of this New Testament church. It's not what we've sacrificed or given up. It's what he sacrificed and gave up. He gave it all up. You have a new joy, and if you don't joy and rejoice in that, got a real problem. There's a joy because of liberty, freedom. I like that most of all. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Yeah. How are we doing? Yeah. When I ask you how we're doing, I'm talking about me too. How are we doing? You know, John, the Spirit through John, brought out the commandment that Jesus laid out, that we love one another as Christ loved us. And he's by this, the world will know, in essence, that we're his disciples. You know why our witnessing isn't as strong and doesn't give the results that it could? Well, maybe we have a little problem with love, and they don't know for sure that we're his disciples. And I'll tell you what, I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else. We need to go forth in love, in the spirit of love, and we need to go forth with genuine concern. And when we talk to somebody and tell them about Jesus, when we present the word of God to them, the manner in which we do it is either going to help them to receive it, or it's going to drive them further away. Anyway, in that liberty that we have, we need to rejoice because we have the privilege to serve and to worship him. We have the privilege to please the God that created all things, the God of all power. We? When they get up in a spaceship, they look down, they can't even see individuals. And yet God loved us as puny and scrawny and nasty and terrible as we are. He paid the price that brought our peace and our liberty and our freedom. We need to show the love of God so that others will come to him. I had a phone call today, I believe it was today, from Oklahoma. Old church there, real old church. A former member of the church called me, and he said, I don't want to receive your paper anymore. And the article on the paper, you can blame offending him to Brother Hawker over there, I believe his name is, hiding behind that beard of his. But anyway, he tells me, he says, I was a member of a dead church, and he said, the church is dead, it's no more. He said, I'm getting the paper that the church was supposed to be getting, and he said, I don't want to get it anymore. And so I just, I understand that you don't want to get it, but do you have a reason? Yeah, the church is there no more, and he says, I'm not interested in it. I said, well, we try to keep it doctrinally sound and help people learn more about what the Bible really teaches. And so he says, I'm in a church now that's alive. I'm in a church now that's really going. I'm in a church that's really spiritual and the spirit is really strong. And he said, we got five pastors. We have four services. And he says, I'm doing Bible studies and things like that. He said, people are being saved almost all the time. He said, we're just really, really doing something. I said, well, are you sure that that church is a sound church? Where'd it come from? Wouldn't answer me. So Sister Rhonda reminded me when I called and told her to take his name off of the list to mail to. And she says, well, he got the message, didn't he? He got the message of that article, and he knows where he's at is not where there's lineage. He's not in the right place. Anyway, it's important. It's important that we don't use our liberty to serve the flesh. There's joy because of comfort. Look at Psalms 23, verse number 4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Have a new joy. Have a new prayer life. Can get their prayers answered now. Can intercede on behalf of others. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know what? He can pray for his enemies now. We could pray for our enemies after that. We had been born again and surrendered our lives to the Lord. We have a new prayer life. We can pray for our enemies. We have a new prayer life, and we pray for all of those that are in authority. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Prayer. He can pray a prayer that's steadfast. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. He has a new testimony, a testimony of praise. Look at Psalms 119:117. says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. He has a testimony that he can set forth as a light in the lighthouse of God. He has that opportunity. Salvation does not put him in, but he is now qualified to be baptized and to be added to a New Testament church. Look at the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. Begin with verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And this candlestick represents church. And that light is that light he lit when he saved your soul. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So, and have a testimony of being a light. You don't light a light and put it under a bushel. But you light a light, put it on a candlestick. Person that's saved by the grace of God, he has a new life and a place to live that new life in. A scriptural New Testament church. A membership of a New Testament church is a way of life. It's the same as a preacher that's called to preach is a way of life. We need to live it. We need to live it by faith. We need to take advantage of these attributes and these things that will help us and bring us along the way. And our main thrust in life should be to please Jesus. How are you going to know when you're pleasing him? You better spend some time in here. You know why most churches are gone? Because they've had pastors that get up and read one verse and stand there and palaver for 45 minutes. They got church members that don't even bother bringing their Bibles. And if they do, they never open them. They don't bother studying. They go home, set it on the desk or on the coffee table, and it sits there until time to go to church the next time. And sometimes don't even bother at that. Brother, our churches are dying out all over. And it grieves me to see it. I would that it would grieve you guys too. Because I'll tell you what, just as that church in Duncan, Oklahoma, which was a good-sized church and an old, old church that used to be prominent in the Lord's work, is no more. Gone. Dead and gone. And we keep hearing about it more and more all over. You know, who can keep this church going? Keep her busy in the work? Each one of us. Each one of us. And if we don't remain as one body in Christ, if we don't love one another as Christ loved us, if we don't show people around us that we're his disciples by that love, the work will die. If you're tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus, he's not lit that light in your soul. You need to repent and by faith trust him. You need to be willing with all of your heart to be sorry that you sinned against him. And you've got to be willing to reach out from your heart and seek his forgiveness. You have to from the heart desire for him to save you. And when you let him, he will. And by the way, if you might be here tonight, I don't have any clue who it is. The only one I know saved for sure is me. If you're here, you're a church member. The Spirit of God's convict your heart. Or you have that question and that doubt. Am I saved? Boy, eternity's a long time. And the suffering that'll go on there with those that refuse to put their faith and trust in Jesus and be saved is going to be horrible. You know, as bad as people suffer here in this day, won't even hold a candle to the suffering that's going to go on for those that are not saved by the grace of God. How do you determine it? On your knees and in the books. Let's stand. If you're here, you lost the joy of your salvation. What shall we sing, brother?
240.
Why don't you come? Confess your sins. He said he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you don't have that joy, that rejoicing, if you don't have that thankfulness, that humility in your heart that brings yourself to tears from time to time, you need to get it. You need to come to Jesus. That's a big commitment. We'd ought to all make it. We ought to all be willing to. We're robbing ourselves of these things that we've gone through tonight. But we'll not come to Him. Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention. Remember the prayer requests. Take them before the Lord continually. Invite people to come to church. Talk to them about Jesus. Reach out and be a friend. A friend like Jesus was. Where he went, he even went out of the way just to talk to a woman about Jesus. Just look to the Lord in dismissal prayer.